Ars Electronica 2009 Human Nature Podcast.
So the second distinction, Glenn Marshall. It's an algorithmic animation, and the abbreviated version of the jury statement. Rounding out the selection in the winner's circle is an algorithmic animation done in processing as a music video for Peter Gabriel's hypnotic song. In contrast to other entries of algorithmic animation, Glenn Marshall has worked hard on creating a metaphor for the stages of life, which are smoothly woven together in a lyrical lullaby for the eyes. The jury felt that the programming coding effort was a unique and worthy accomplishment while maintaining strong aesthetics and storyline.
Okay, hello, thank you. Well, I think I guess most of you haven't seen the film, so I'm just going to play it. I think it's 4 minutes long, so I'll just get cracking. There we go. Thank you. thank you. I think it was a little bit jerky. I think there was some kind of just conversion kind of thing. It's a 24 FPS, but I think that was kind of showing a different frame rate. Anyway, let's see, Nest, The Tale of the Sky. This would be categorized as generative animation. Generative animation, you could call, I don't know how to define it, but it's randomly generated visuals, animation from programming mathematics. So it's kind of, I'm not animating stuff, it's the computer is generating the emotion, the kind of the visuals. I kind of put in code, mathematics, and algorithms, and the computer gets busy creating this generative animation. And what I, the software, the programming language I've been using to create this and a few other things I'm going to show you is called Processing. Processing is a Java-based. Oh, here we go. That's gone. Yeah, okay. So this is Processing. I'm going to read it. I'll just read the blurb. Processing is an open source programming language and environment for people who want to program images, animation, and interactions. It is used by students, artists, designers, researchers, and hobbyists for learning, prototyping, and production. It is created to teach the fundamentals of computer programming within a visual context and to serve as a software sketchbook and professional production tool. But yeah, this is created to enable people like me. My background is in 3D animation and motion graphics. I wouldn't have been a programmer as such. I've done 3D animation for 10, 15 years. And it's only the last year that, because of discovering processing, I decided to kind of try my, I've done a few other previous films that were experimental, kind of semi-abstract, and they kind of deal with themes of cycles of life. And it's kind of very hard to get these ideas across by being limited to traditional 3D software and motion graphics. And I've always found that kind of very frustrating, trying to do push the extremes of what computer animation could be, being limited by 3ds Max, After Effects, etc. And so discovering processing and the whole idea that I could create my own technology, program my own technology to create my own graphics, which is what I think a digital artist should be doing, creating their own tools, their own technology. And about this time last year, I took it upon myself to learn processing. And it's geared and aimed towards, like I was saying, artists, designers who maybe have a new background in programming to make it as easy as possible. It kind of strips away all the kind of hardcore programming stuff that would just scare you to death ordinarily. And it makes it quite easy to kind of get in, play around with ideas visually. Just type in, you know, a few lines of code. You can quickly come up with something really interesting. Change a few numbers. Something else happens. Very different from using 3ds Max, but it's hugely liberating as an experimental computer artist to be able to just theoretically and philosophically conceive visual ideas and implement them literally through words and numbers. And this is something that kind of changed my whole way of creating artwork. And another thing I'm going to touch on is just how the kind of subject matter. I follow Buddhism and Buddhist teachings a lot, and it's kind of reflected in the work I do. You get the sense of, for example, the cycles of life, birth, aging, transcendence, death, and a kind of repeating process. And these are themes that it's in, you'll see more of my work, you'll see it kind of running throughout. But I just wanted to make that clear because it is, my work is a reflection of me and how I perceive the world, and how I perceive the world is come from Buddhist teaching. And I'll get into that a little bit more, but I'm going to show you, one other thing I was going to mention, generative art in general. It's still quite in its infancy, generative animation, generative art, but the forefather of generative art was Mozart. You may not have known that, but Mozart designed a little game for children to help them learn musical composition using dice. And it was kind of what you would do is roll a couple of dice, and whatever number came up, there would be a corresponding table of like pre-composed musical sections, and you would kind of copy that into like an empty score. And you'd roll the dice again and, you know, look up what kind of section you had to copy into the score. And by the end, you'd have a little composition randomly generated by dice. And this is to encourage, inspire children to compose music. But we have Mozart to thank for the very first generative art using random numbers, which is basically what I'm doing with this work. But like I was saying, but this time last year, I took this upon myself to teach myself processing and a whole new way of animating on a computer. Just thinking theoretically, thinking in mathematics and trigonometry, thinking conceptually, kind of free from any kind of software interface. And it took me a couple of months. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't too difficult. Anyone here who is a designer, artist, it's not that difficult. If you see from anything today that you like, you know, it's not that difficult to take it upon yourself. There's a couple of books available, to tutorial books. But I'm going to show you the first piece of work that I had done, which is like the kind of framework for later animations, including The Nest, The Sail, The Sky. This was the first piece of work. It took me a couple of months. It's called Music is Math. I'll show you it now. And I can only really show you about 2 minutes because there's a few other things I want to show and we haven't got much time, a few minutes. But let's go with this. Thank you. So yeah, that's after a couple of months learning this processing language and conceiving of something that kind of resonated with how me artistically, but also with these ideas in Buddhism of cycles of life, but also things without beginning, things without any kind of end. And I'm going to just scrub through some frames just to show you the kind of the visual structure of this animation. I wanted to come up with something that was a metaphor for all the idea of things without beginning, things without end, things which cause and effect. And it was these kind of visual structures. Try and get a long shot. I'll just mute it. And if you look closely, you'll see you have this kind of nice organic motion of a main trunk, and then you have some branches coming out of it. But the way I've created it is that if I pause it, it has a tail and a head, and as it kind of moves around, well, if you can try and visually spot the beginning and end points of this thing, the branches kind of shrink down and kind of collapse back down toward the end of these kind of snake-like bodies. And then toward the head, where it's growing and heading the kind of forward direction, there's kind of new branches spouting out. And then as the branches come out, the little particles kind of fly off. And to me, that kind of was a nice abstract metaphor for cyclical existence and, you know, departing seeds. And, you know, but what I really wanted to nail from a point of view of creating generative animation, we've all seen a lot of kind of screensaver type stuff, and it's very boring, it's very tedious, very quickly. And it was, right, if I'm going to create a generative animation system, it has to maintain some sort of visual interest and narrative for a period of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and be completely automated. I'm not interfering with anything. I just kind of hit compile and it does it all. But there has to be a framework, a kind of set of rules that the computer follows to create all of this stuff. And a couple of these rules or ideas, for example, here we have a kind of a long shot. It's a very simple thing to implement, but the camera is moving in and out toward and back from these structures. So at any one time, you're in a long shot or you're kind of really close up. And that's important to communicate that sense of space, but keep it varied over a period of time. And the camera is in a kind of rhythmic motion, coming in towards for a close-up and then back out again for a long shot. So that's just one element to keep the visual interest there for, you know, periods of, you know, minutes. And the emotion of the kind of main vine as it moves about, it's all based on trigonometry, and coming up and refining a formula which created a nice elegant motion, And then allowing the camera to follow this motion is another aspect to keep it visually interesting, this kind of elegant motion. And the other elements, like the particles flying off, they have a kind of mind of their own. And as the film, you keep watching the film, at any one point there's different stuff happening. Because I've got the kind of basic rules laid out, you know, when this happens, you know, let the particles kind of fly off in this direction. The camera's going back and forth. I just created enough of a set of rules to allow the computer to have complete random freedom within this kind of context to give me all the generative animation I want and keep it interesting. So that became the framework of, or the basis, the engine of a lot of the future kind of variations of this, and which then led to the Nest That Sailed the Sky. And I'm going to show you the next piece I done after this, which is called, I'm going to show you a minute of it. How much time do we have left, do you think? Not much. Yeah, okay. iPhone thing, you think? Yeah. Okay. What I've been working on the last couple of months is turning all this generative animation into an interactive iPhone application. It wasn't much of a step further from processing into teaching myself how to program the iPhone. So it's at this stage, it still needs a little bit of work to finish off, but it should be in the App Store in about a month, 2 months. And I'm going to show you a little demo, and here we go. Oh, help me. Thank you. Okay, well, if you have an iPhone, I hope you buy it. Thanks.
Okay. A couple of minutes for questions, answers. Take a seat. Are there any questions to Jean-François, Claire and Marshall? So then I would ask a final question. As we have already discussed a little bit about the pre-Ars Electronica competition and compared to other computer animation competitions, it's just one prize and a very wide range. And the Prix has a really long history, as you can see downstairs at the exhibition. And how can the Prix competition for computer animation evolve for the future? Is it maybe a good decision to split it and to give prizes to student works and algorithmic animation, or do you think that there is still worth to look for innovations generally in the field of animation concerning technology?
Hello. I'm going to fly the flag for generative animation. I think it's an innovative concept, and I think it does deserve something like its own category, and I think Ars Electronica being in it, kind of leading the way in recognizing up-and-coming new technologies in art and how they're used. I think algorithmic and generative art should have its own category, but that I'm obviously prejudiced. But I think there's enough good work out there done by myself and there's a few others. I think it's a genuine turning point in computer animation, because designers are now becoming programmers and creating their own technology, and I think that is something in its own right.
Any other comments?
That's a word, not what I thought before coming here. The idea is the first time I come to Ars Electronica, and I thought there was only a generative animation or abstract animation.
Yeah.
I was surprised Skizen was selected. I have no choice to do for you, because it's the first time I come, I just discovered. But I think it's for the jury, it could be very, very difficult to choose between an abstract film, generative film, and a narrative film. It's nearly impossible. I feel with the rest of the event that animation art with animation which meets science, it's where it could go now, when animation meets science.
Okay. Well, so fit to the
and don't fit to Skizen.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a question. Another question.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to just ask about barriers to getting into animation. So, Glenn, your artwork was done in Processing, which is free to download, free to learn, free to develop. Whereas Skizen was done in a lot of advanced, expensive software and requires a lot of rendering. That's not to say that it's not incredible. It is. How should perhaps the field of computer animation respond to barriers for entry? How can it get more people doing animations? I know that a lot of mobile devices like the Nintendo DS and the iPhone are starting to develop on the fly animation devices, and these seem to promise that more people will be in the field. I was just wondering if all the artists here could talk about how animation could be benefited by having more access to the technology to make these things.
Yeah, I'm going to speak from my own experience. And this is true from going to be true for a lot of people. I used a lot of crack software to create a lot of my work. I just could not afford the commercial price of these things. A lot of people do it. I don't condone it. It's not right, but it's not going to stop me animating, you know. So, you know, Pirate Bay has probably supported the animation industry for the last, you know, 10 years. It's just the way it is, you know. I don't think it's that much of a problem, because if you really want to learn 3D animation and get into visual effects, you're going to get that software no matter what, and it's pretty easy to get. But I don't think it's the end of the world, you know, because the industry does benefit in the long run from young people teaching themselves animation, 3D animation, and creating really, really, really good work. So I don't think it's that big a problem, actually.
Okay. Any other questions?
The music on the video, music is math, seems to be not generative music. Is that right? And do you use also generative music on your works?
Yeah, it's interesting. Music is math. It's not audio reactive. There's no connection with the sound at all. And this is interesting. Whereas Iris's work is a kind of a literal connection between sound and vision, I'm more interested in the kind of internal subjective correlation we place between hearing sounds and seeing things. In other words, the connections we make in our own brain. It's nothing that I've kind of placed there. But the music is Boards of Canada. You may have heard of really great electronic ambient music group. But when you're watching it, it looks like a lot of it is the visuals are connected to the sound. It's not, it's your brain kind of just automatically, wherever you are in the music, whatever's happening in the music, your brain is looking at visual patterns which match to the music. And this is something that always fascinates me. And it's, like I was saying, it's the opposite almost of what Iris's work is. And the Nest, the Sail, the Sky, and various other pieces I have done, I just rely more on creating an animation engine, the generative animation engine, which moves at a certain pace and in a certain way to allow the brain to kind of match up visually anything it sees in what it's actually hearing at the same time. So you're creating internally in your own brain this marriage between visual and sound. I'm not doing it, you're doing it yourself. Does that make sense?
Okay. So
it makes me think about IA, you know, intelligence, artificial intelligence, and it could be imagination, artificial imagination, artificial. You know, when you listen to music and you see things, you imagine things. So it's the computer we imagine things. In your case.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, yeah, I think.
Okay, so any other comments?
Hi, I would like to add something to the correct software stuff. a lot of 3D application software companies offer now really cheap student software stuff, like you can buy Max for $150, which is totally cool, I guess. And there are some cool open source softwares too. I mean, there is Blender, for example, which is, in my opinion, has a really bad interface, but a lot of people are using them and making really good projects. So yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Thank you. So a last question. So before we are talking too much about software, thanks a lot for joining, and thanks a lot for your presentation. Of course, you have already seen that there is a festival, animation festival program at OK, and I will just like to invite you that in a couple of minutes downstairs there is there are lectures about Seagraph animation. So thanks a lot for coming, and see you next year.
Thanks again.